Great to be in Sunday school. We have Monday school, Tuesday school. I like Sunday school too. It is really, really good. So, have I been switched over to the other mic? Fantastic. I had a thought about a week ago about what is the fear of God all about? And guess what happened as soon as I started thinking about that and looking up some verses? Any guesses? Pastor asked me to teach for him when he would be gone this week. That's how God works. Puts a thought in my heart, in my mind. But today's lesson has to have more than just fearing God. Fearing God is a reality. What is kind of the alternative to the fear of God? What's the opposite? His love. Fear and love. So, what in our lives keeps us on track? When we're driving, what keeps us on the road? You can't participate. I like participation. What keeps us on the road? Is there a big barrier there that keeps us from going off a cliff? Yes. Just the idea you want to stay on the path and keep going the right direction where you're hoping you can go. But there are some places that if you pull off the side of the road, it's just nice, level, just like the streets around here at the church, probably your home. But in my house, I have a curb and a sidewalk. Could that keep the car from crashing into any of the neighbors' houses? No. It might slow it down just a tad, but car could easily go up over a curb and crash into somebody's property. How about the interstate? Are there bridges on the interstate? And what keeps cars from trying to get off track when you're going up to that highest level out on the interstate, I-10? It's up about 50, 60 feet, that third level all the way up. Yeah, they've got a wall 4 feet tall or so, thick concrete. Because people are not always wise and paying attention. If they're going too fast, I've already seen tire marks on the newest walls. Why? They don't want people to fall off and fall on somebody else who's down below and kill themselves too. But I don't want to get that drastic. I want you to think about bowling. So when you're bowling, how many of you have gone bowling in your life sometime? Okay. What is on the sides that keeps the ball straight? Gutters. The ball just falls there, harmlessly rolls to the back, goes through the machinery, they spit it back out to the front so you can try not to get a gutter ball the next time. Well, that analogy works really good for balancing fear and love. We do need both. Those are barriers. They are things that are there. God put them there for our protection. And what is the idea of bowling? Is to knock down the pins, right? Now, I have seen a few people roll the ball with such spin and speed that after it fell in the gutter, it spun out and knocked over some pins. I have seen some people do that in some of the leagues that I've been a part of years ago. But that's not normal. Love and fear are the boundaries that God puts for us to consider. So, I want to focus more on the fear boundary rather than the love boundary. How easy is it to get off track for God? Does he have a huge 4-foot cement barrier not to pass over his fear boundary? No. Does he have a 4-foot wall to keep us from having too much love? No. But can we have too much love? Can we be thinking about the love of God so much and get off track from what God wants us to do? I think that's been a problem with so many of the more modern churches. They keep drifting to love, to the love, to the love. And now they love God so much that they never think about the fear side. Bowling is the perfect example because the ball needs to stay in the lane if you're going to knock down the pins. The goal of the game. The goal as a Christian, live a life that pleases the Savior. And where is the sweet spot in bowling? You know, the pins are arranged in a triangle, right? Where is the sweet spot that if you want to get a strike, the very first ball you roll, where is the best place to hit the pins? The triangle. Just to the side of the head pin is the best. Because if you hit the dead pin straight on and the ball clears, you're going to end up with that one pin on each corner. Or even worse, two pins on each corner. So even going what you think is the very straight and narrow might not still turn out to be the best result. But I'm going to get back to the bowling analogy a little bit later. The Old Testament, we know what that is, right? That whole section at the first part of our Bible, it's a lot thicker than the New Testament. What does the Old Testament say about fearing the Lord? Well, because I've talked about fearing and loving, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. The balance between loving and fearing God. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And we're going to be looking at some other verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But this verse would be the best theme verse that I found for this lesson. Verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Did Jesus use that verse when he was teaching his disciples? Because he was talking to mostly Jewish people, they knew most of the Ten Commandments, right? By the way, do we know all 10 of the commandments? Last time I tried, I got 8 of the 10. If we say we're going to follow God's law, is 10 commandments all of God's law? No, there's many more things he wants us to know. But people always say, yeah, keep the Ten Commandments. And then I ask them, well, how many of them can you tell me? And they say, well, let's see. They have to stop and think a little bit. Well, I instantly, 4 or 5 come to mind. No lying, no stealing, no killing. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. No other gods before thee. I mean, once you get started, you can usually rattle some off. But I've asked people, well, if they say to obey the Ten Commandments and they can't even tell me what they are, how many of them do you think they're obeying? How important are they? But verse 12 gives us what Jesus said is the first commandment. God gave these 10 to the Israelites because he knew they needed them badly. Well, we need them badly too. Jesus gave 2 commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, strength, mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you keep both of Jesus' commandments, will you keep all of the commandments God wants us to keep? The ones toward God. And then if you keep Jesus' second commandment, you will keep all the commandments Jesus wants us to keep for people. Fear and love. I looked up the fear of God, and I got 125 verses that came up with that phrase, or portions of the phrase that talk about the fear of God. The Old Testament has 119 of them. Of all the times it talks about the fear of God, Old Testament has 119. New Testament has 6 to make up the 125. I looked up the phrase, the love of God. There were 52, much more even than the Old Testament. Of the 52, 19 Old Testament, 33 New Testament. So, when God gave us the fear of him, Scripture is mostly in the Old Testament to teach us. But the New Testament, we follow because it has more of a balance as well. I want to remind us why fearing God is important in the Sunday school time. I think it's what drew me to the place where I wanted salvation from the Lord. Raised as a Lutheran, I learned all the Bible stories, Old Testament, New Testament, lots and lots of them. But the church and the teaching in the church and my family never permitted me to make that personal decision to trust the Savior until I thought of my sin is going to send me to the lake of fire. I better fear God. And I think for many people, that's what draws them to salvation, that fear of the Lord. God built us. He knows how we think. He knows we need that. I'm glad he led me to that place, and my life has been totally changed. What about your testimony? Was it mostly you decided for salvation out of a sense of fear? Or, as I've seen in some people's lives, they knew how much God loved them and they wanted to make a decision. Any response from you guys? Which one drew you? Sylvia? Okay. Anyone else? How many was fear? Okay. Why? Because that's one of the gutters. The love. How many were drawn to salvation because you knew how much God loved you? Okay. To me, those are the gutters. We've got to stay on the lane, though. We want to accomplish God's perfect will for us. God's love, mercy, and grace. Amazing. Do you experience it soon, a lot, soon, every morning when you get up? Do you think of it? Are you thankful? Does it help you to take steps in the right direction for God? It does now. It didn't used to for me. Some of you know me for the last 8-10 years in the church. students and some of the teachers know me a lot better because we work together all day. How many of you think that I am a foolish, just fun guy? Oh, you didn't even, thank you, Matt, but you're wrong. No, my life, I tend to be serious. I don't want to see foolishness. I don't want foolishness out of the young people in my class. There's no place in life for foolishness. Well, God has a lot of warnings against it too, so I'm not in too bad of a shape. We have got to stay on the lane between fear and love. When we think of the Old Testament, what causes God to want us to think of him as a fearful judge? Any of the stories in the Old Testament remind you that we need to fear God because he is a fearful judge? He hates all sin? Two she-bears? What? You mean when Elijah said for a bear, or yes, Elisha said for a bear? No, he didn't call the bear. But that's how God judged those children for being foolish. He didn't say, God, send a bear to destroy them. No, that's a story I didn't write down. Any story from the garden indicate that we should fear God? The ground, he cursed Satan, he cursed Adam and Eve. That hopefully would be a gentler kind of correction. Hey, here's the consequences for doing wrong. What other Old Testament story was because God's judgment for sin? Several times in his dealings with Daniel. How about an easier one than those? How about the ark, Mark? How about it? What about it? Noah found grace. Noah found grace. And he destroyed every other living person, all the creatures, except the ones that were safe. That's pretty bad judgment. Any others come to mind? Jonah had some difficulty because he decided to go somewhere different. I didn't write that one down, but that's another Old Testament one, yes. How much do you remember about the children of Israel? Yeah. What made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Unbelief, sin. And that was that the only time God had to judge them? No. Every time the people started rising up, God showed them, you're messing with the wrong one. God's judgment, all these lessons, do we learn from them? Or do we have to want to suffer judgment and correction from God ourselves? Being the second son, I learned a lot from my brother's, older brother's mistakes. I made plenty of my own. But we can learn from others with a lot less pain to us. Because it's more of a mental struggle. There are so many examples why it is so important we remember to fear God correctly. And it is because of who he is, his holiness, his righteousness. He's in charge of this entire universe. Is God helping the fear of the Lord keep you on the lane where you can accomplish the goal knocking down the walls of Satan in the hearts and lives of other people. That's where bowling isn't a good example. You don't want to be knocking people over. But you want them changing their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to some other verses. We're already in Deuteronomy. Go up to chapter 6, verse 2. Says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. That's a pretty good reason to think about the fear of the Lord. You need to keep God's commandments. Chapter 8, verse 6 says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. That's a more gentle way of letting the fear of God remind us. Going to chapter 17, verse 19. I didn't write down the exact quotation. 17:19. 17:19 says, and it shall be with him, and it shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all his words of this law and these statutes, to do them. I wrote a note that it was dealing where this is instruction that the parents were supposed to give their children. That's kind of the context of that passage. Go all the way to chapter 31, verse 6 of Deuteronomy. And of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. That's the enemies. God is talking to Joshua. Don't be afraid of the enemies, the giants, all what the people were. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's not what I was hoping it would say. He'll be with us. Yes. Go to verse 12, 31:12. Gather men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. That's pretty inclusive. Everyone that we're going to come in contact with would fit into the family relationship or the stranger association that we have. Door-to-door visitation. People need to hear to fear the Lord and do his commandments. That's what we're all about. Joshua also talks about that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Old Testament, lots of fear. Well, should we go to some Psalms? Let's go to Psalm 22 to start with. Psalm 22, verse 23. Remind us how important it is that we remember that there's a God that we should be fearing every moment of every day, and balance that with the love. Psalm 22, verse 23 says, ye that fear the Lord, oh, that's us, ye that fear the Lord It says, praise ye him, all ye the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. Well, I'm glad the Lord adopted me into his family. I was not born as a Jew, but we're in God's family when we truly have the Lord. There are a lot of commands. Fear the Lord, fear the Lord. And in Deuteronomy it says, what does it take to fear the Lord? Do what he says to do. Did any of you ever have your parents punish you when you did something right? Ever? Well, I once got the blame for something my older brother did that I didn't do. Parents aren't perfect like God is. Parents usually don't punish their children for doing right. People in the world seem to think it's a problem for doing right, but not God. God disciplines, corrects, when we've done something that we shouldn't do. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That sounds like good news, right? Light, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do we have to fear God if we're doing right? Light, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who do you fear when you're doing right? Let's finish the verse. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's good encouragement. 33, verse 18. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Does the fear of the Lord cause you to trust God more? Expect God to give you mercy. There's also some humility that has to take place before that will happen. And that's really good. Psalm 111:10 is also repeated in the Proverbs, the idea of it. Psalm 111, verse 10. There are other psalms that I'm skipping over. I don't want to give you every single verse I wrote down, just some of the highlights as we have time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, what has God taught you this week? What wisdom have you gained just this week? Something that God has shown you from his word that has helped you to stay on the lane. Maybe get further away from the gutter. Linda's smiling. You have something to share? Okay. Learn from the example that God gave in Ezekiel. Don't do like those rebellious Jewish people. But how easy is it for us not to think about that? You end up in the gutter quickly. I like that. Somebody else want to share? All right, let's move on. So, Proverbs 1, verse 7. In Psalm 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon also mentioned that several times. Here in Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are some things foolish people just don't get. It's amazing how many people have to go around my truck when I'm stopped at a stop sign and I don't step on it, I start very slowly. Almost every time, one or two people are zipping around me. Why be in that much of a hurry? I don't want to have to spend more for fuel. This world is getting so impatient. And where are most of them headed? Destruction. They're in a hurry to get to destruction. We've got to fear the Lord. We've got to share with them the fear of the Lord, because there's so much good news in that. There's so much good news in the life of a person who changes from sin and gets on track for God. And all along the way, we feel God's presence. Well, when our sin is not hindering us from fellowship with God. You see, that's it. Sin hinders our fellowship with our Savior, our God. And it blocks His mercy, and it blocks His blessings, and it blocks the love side of God from us, even people who say we trust Christ sometimes. But the less time we spend in the gutters of the side of our Christian life, our alley, God's blessings continue to shine and prosper. And it's a joy to love and serve the Lord. How about the New Testament? Ready to jump all the way to the New Testament? There's only six references. The first one is in Acts 9:31, so let's turn there. Acts 9:31. Learning from the Old Testament really is helpful to us. 9:31 says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." We want people to turn their lives to the Savior. We, as Christians, need to be walking in the fear of the Lord, having the Holy Spirit comfort our hearts. Hey, you're on the right track. Keep following those verses. Why? Because that's how the lost are going to have any idea that there's a God that loves them, when we're walking in that path. I didn't write down the other New Testament verses. So let me end with our bowling example. When I was 12, I had a paper route up in northern Illinois, Chicago suburbs. Get up really early in the morning, go deliver my papers. Later on Saturday afternoon, go collect the money. I had to take the money to the paper office downtown, and they would give me a portion of it, $2.50. Whew! Rolling in dough! Whole week of delivering papers for $2.50. And I was thankful. My parents didn't require me to do anything with the money, so I went straight to the bowling alley and spent $1.25 of it. Bowled 3, 4, 5 games. I bowled a 248 game one time as a 12-year-old. I got pretty good. What's the idea behind bowling? You learn a good way to roll the ball down the alley, let it hit the pins and knock them all down. Right? Oh, that was before a computer kept track of all the scores. I had to keep track of it myself. There were a lot of 200 games, but 225 was my top. I took the paper up to the counter, showed the guy my... He didn't believe me. That's okay. I was unsaved, and I believed myself, and I was honest about it. That's pretty good success. As an adult, I had a time to be part of several bowling leagues. So I would get on a team. I averaged 191 for the whole bowling league season, which was about 3 months. A lot of 200 games. A number of, 170s, 180s. But it averaged 191. Top score of anybody in our league. I got pretty good at bowling. I was going to be a professional bowler. Well, no. Because I was already in the Air Force. Couldn't be a professional bowler in the Air Force. I don't know that the Air Force had a bowling team. Maybe I should have checked into it. Does anybody know if the Air Force had a bowling... Did they have an inner service? Why didn't you tell me that when I was in the Air Force, John? Anyway, I went up to Alaska. We had a two-lane bowling alley at the little radar site. I was up there 7 months, remote. It was called the remotest of the remotes. Way out on a little tip at the very southwestern tip of the mainland of Alaska before you get to that long chain that goes out. Little radar site up there for 7 months. Two-lane bowling alley. I was there all the time. I loved bowling. In fact, I got so tired of bowling right-handed that I started bowling left-handed too. And I've been pretty ambidextrous a lot of my life. But I had a 160 average left-handed up there. But then when I got home to my family and Air Force duties, I never spent much time bowling left-handed again. The last time I went bowling was at a school activity. We took the young people at the bowling alley. After bowling two games, these two fingers were so sore, it was over a week before the fingers stopped hurting. And I pretty much said, I'm not sure I ever want to bowl again. My body is so different. Yeah. My bowling stories are not nearly as important as staying on the lane for God. We've got to stay on the lane. Now, if you watch some of the professionals, they get way over to the edge of the gutter, and they roll the ball almost right on the edge. Half the ball is over the gutter. And yet, what happens is the ball gets closer to the pins. It curves, hits the exact spot that you want to hit with the bowling ball, knock all the pins down. There's a number of professionals that bowl like that. They put that much energy and rotation into the ball so that it hits the mark and the goal. I was never that brave. I stayed just slightly to the right, rolled my ball with my hand just about that angle, and it has enough natural curve, and as long as you can roll the ball the same speed and let it go with your arm in the correct position and your body's in the correct position, that ball should keep doing the same thing. Because it doesn't have a mind of its own. Consistency. I've also seen some people, they stand slightly to the left side, and when they roll the ball, they twist their little finger up in the air. And that puts just enough spin on it to hit the strike zone and knock all the pins down pretty well that way. There's all kinds of ways to deliver the ball. God's given us the tools. We just have to do it consistently. The secret to being a success for God is live every day with His fear, with His love, stay in the lane, and minister to the lives of people. And God will do great things. Can't wait to see the rewards that people are going to get that are a result of my ministry someday. But God is so special. Let's pray. Father,